no one seems to be here for the public other than Neil. You want to make any public comment? Review of agenda. I had budget considerations here. We need to deal with the budget fund balance that was $32,624 less because Ellen has been carrying that fund balance forward. And Scott mentioned the contract with the fire department and the Dolan distribution. It's going to be up to the board as to which one of the, all of those, if you want to do all of those, if you feel that the others we're not going to do anything about them, that's fine. Does anybody else have anything else? So do you want to take up all three of those items?
I think they're all kind of wrapped up in because budget. In the budget, so yeah, I think it's all part of the same ball of wax.
Yeah, I thought of the Dolan.
Okay. So the first, let's try and get the easy ones done first. There is no contract at the present time from the fire department with Hartford. The last that I heard about it, Hartford was overwhelmed and they probably weren't terribly interested in a contract. That may not be the case, but I haven't heard anything about it. So I certainly think it would be, it wouldn't be prudent to budget for it. And they may not be willing to. Kevin says he's got four new members, and some of those are doing training. And we haven't heard any news. There's nothing to budget.
The October minutes show that Kevin was going to report back. He didn't say when, so I guess it was sort of left open ended. But there was a follow up action to. To report back to the board on that. So, you know, I guess it's fine to leave it out, but that precludes doing anything for, you know, the next year and a half till FY22. So it's good to hear that the fire department has four new members. I think I had kind of heard through the grapevine that not only through the grapevine, but also from Kevin's own assessment that there was a challenge covering North Pomfret, at least parts of North Pomfret. And so the idea was to augment that with Hartford. So I guess whether it's in the budget or not, there's still that larger concern about whether we've got adequate coverage in North Pomfret. And that's not really the agenda item, but I guess I'm just highlighting the concern that if we're still in that predicament in terms of not having adequate coverage for North Pomfret and we don't anticipate anything in the budget, then that pretty much that's...
But I think we should definitely... Well, I guess we should get a hold of Kevin and see if he's did anything, but to me it's something we should continue to pursue as far as budgeting. We can't budget for it, although from what I remember from the previous time, the price was similar to what Woodstock was charging, so it's not like it's going to be a lot more than what we were paying anyways. Although once we signed a contract with Woodstock for a year, whenever that comes.
Are you talking about ambulance?
Yeah.
So roughly 30 grand for...
So I mean, the whole fire contract with Hartford was going to provide ambulance as well for whatever portion of town that we...
And that's what they were going to charge us for, was the ambulance.
And
the fire was going to come along for the ride.
Okay.
So technically, it might be a few dollars more, but I don't see that anything has happened yet. And I was told that Hartford was understaffed at the moment, and they weren't looking to expand their coverage. They might take the north end of the town. They might not. But I think it would be preliminary to put anything in the budget for sure. And I think maybe we should kind of ask Kevin how things are coming along, if that's what we want to do. Frank wrote a letter that said that he thought that the fast squad should be part of the conversation, and I think he's right. I think they should, because it isn't just a fire matter, especially if it's going to be an ambulance with a fire business tag along. But we really are off budget items, and all I really put in here was for budget. And so if there's nothing we're going to put in the budget regarding it, I think we should continue this conversation in another day.
Yeah.
I still think it, I don't disagree that it isn't a need that has to be addressed, but I don't think it's pertinent for the budget discussion. So now we've gotten to the Dolan contribution. I brought that up. I would like us not to fritter that money away, and that's a rather poor term, but I think you understand the gist of what I'm trying to say. If we were to look at that contribution, which was 200% of the taxes, the municipal taxes, that she would have paid, probably 80 to 85% of that is highway, and the rest is general fund money. What I would like to suggest is it's in the general budget as we speak. We probably, if Karen gets any delinquent taxes in this next year, 2021, we probably will have a surplus again. And I would like to Ben Brickner become part of the conversation. He might have some ideas as to what kind of a fund and or trust we could put that in, so that it would help us down the road if indeed she no longer pays 200%. That's a personal contribution on her part. It has nothing to do with artistry, except she's artistry. But I think that personally right now I'd like to just leave it in the budget the way it is, and we'll get something in the works to figure out how to deal with it properly next year. That's my opinion. That's a board decision. Anybody else can?
Well, I don't think we actually voted on it because it was in the context of other budget discussions, but I thought we had made a decision basically to split it down the middle.
We never made a decision.
Well, we sort of did, because the instructions that were given to Neil that night, as I recall, were to take and adjust that amount by 50%.
No, we didn't tell him to do that. No, we didn't.
Well,
we never made a decision what we were going to do. I brought that up.
Okay.
We kind of slid over it.
Okay.
And that's why it's still in there at 20,000.
You're talking putting in the future all 20,000 into a fund, or half of it?
I was thinking that we would put half of it away.
So take what you would have been the municipal amount and use it towards municipal taxes, and then the other half of it put away to use.
But because that $10,000 that's a contribution of 200% of the taxes that she would have paid, not the education tax. It isn't all general fund money. A lot of that really should be apportioned to the highway.
Well, we can do that by default.
That's a pool.
We can do that by default.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that we're trying to deal with the budget, and I don't really think personally that it belongs in the building reserve. I think we should come up with something that reflects future needs. And I'm not sure what kind of a vehicle to put it in. It might be to our advantage to put it in something like the LeBounty Trust, not necessarily a trust, but something that you might use the interest off of to defray taxes or something like that, or something along those lines, so that it would give benefit, especially down the road, rather than just right now or just this next year or the next 3 years. And I think that Kathleen Dolan, she signed a 10-year agreement, and I think that, to be honest, once Ellen sent her that notice, she sent the contribution almost immediately. That was our fault that she didn't send it earlier, I think, and that was just dereliction of duty, so to speak, I guess. But I think we really need to sit down and figure out what we want to, how we want that money to benefit the town as a whole. And I don't think, considering we want to get a budget done, I don't think necessarily now is the time to do that. And I think as select board, we can say we aren't going to spend that money, and we'll figure out what kind of a vehicle we would like that to go into and bring that to the voters at the next town meeting.
So I'm not clear what you're saying. Are you saying not to put any of it on the balance sheet as revenue for FY21, or only half of it? Well, I'm not sure what you're...
Well, right now, Neil has it all in revenue, right. And that's exactly what it is. It's a contribution,
right.
And that's how he's listed it. I would like to see us, rather than give it a pigeonhole, I would like to see us give it some real thought as to how we want this to benefit the town and what kind of a vehicle we would like to put it in, rather than just a reserve fund that might give us more of a return on that kind of money.
Okay, but what are you recommending? I would
leave it in the budget as a donation right now for the amount that it is, and then we can... And I think Ben would help us, but other people could help us as well that have much more of a financial background than I do. And I think they could help us come up with, once we figure out what would be appropriate that we would do with this money, then we can figure out how we can best use it to satisfy the needs now and in the future.
So did we get $20,000 this fiscal year?
Yes.
Okay.
In FY 2020.
Oh. What,
which is going to show up as a
is in
as extra money,
right? That we didn't budget for it,
right?
So. But what I'm getting at is, so then we're working on 21's budget, and so are you saying just put it in as income and not?
I would suggest we just put it in as income, and then figure out how we're going to handle this. And part of my reason for doing that is she was very generous to give us 200% of what she would have paid for taxes. That still is less than what she would pay if she were paying the education taxes in addition to the state. But I think we should treat it, it's a donation, and we should treat it as such, and we should, at least half of it, the extra 100%, as something more than just putting it into reserve fund and using it. And maybe, and I don't know what that is, and so I'm not suggesting what that is.
Yeah.
But give, not just treat it like taxes, because it isn't.
Right. No, I understand. So I guess what I'm getting at is this year, the one we're in now, we're going to treat it as funds came in.
But there's nothing to say when at the end of this fiscal year we have a fund balance that we can't take that and the money for 2021 when it comes around,
yeah,
and we have a fund balance and take that. And by then we'll have a plan in place.
So...
To do something with that, and it might be the TIGO fund, for instance, that might help us alleviate some of the issues down there that we're dealing with. I mean, she's kind of causing some of the issues, so it might be something like that. But I would hate to see it just stuffed in somewhere without more thought than what I have given it.
Well.
Well, that's all fine. I mean, if we want to take the time to put more thought into it, that seems fine. I think my recollection of our last conversation was that however it shakes out, half of that money is really, you know, even though it's technically a donation, it is reflective of foregone tax revenue. And therefore, half of it should stay on the balance sheet as income.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't have a problem with
that. So it's the other half. So I guess tonight, even if we are, I would like to see us take a vote to at least confirm that half of that will be kept on the balance sheet as income, and then with the other half will be a let's figure out another day question, you know, and in form of a committee or whatever to explore options on how to best utilize that money. That's fine.
What authority do we have to spend donated money?
Full authority.
I don't know exactly.
It's treated just like any other, unless it's restricted. Unless it's restricted by the donor to say I am donating this for a specific reason. Otherwise, it's completely unrestricted money.
So then my next question is, if we wanted to put it in a reserve fund...
We could.
We could, but would we have to ask the voters to put that money in a reserve account, even though we have discretion to put it where it is?
Correct.
Okay. So I still like Emily's idea, and maybe it wasn't the more trust, but certainly putting it towards... It'd be nice to take that money and put it towards something concrete, not just buy salt with it.
Well, that's my feeling. And I realize that, and you know, it's not my money. But when I said I didn't think we should just fritter it away, I really meant that. And yeah. And I think this is a real gift to us, just like the gift that Susan Cross gives to the... It's a gift. And, yeah. and it's a very generous one. And I would like to... I would only like to see us spend half of that, and I think we have the internal fortitude, and I don't have a problem with taking a vote that says we'll only spend half of that money. That's no problem to me at all, because I wouldn't intend to anyway, but I don't think I don't have the answers as to what field people can do the best for us that to put that money into, and I think a reserve fund that you get minimal interest on may not be the way to go. We're just not making much money on that money. And
other than that, you know, pigeonholing it away. So none of them are. I mean, the LaBounty Trust is probably, you know, we've used the interest, and now it'll be years and years and years before there'll be anything substantial there, for example. So, I mean, it's the case with anything that
well,
we put
the,
into.
Well, the trustees of the public funds, they're dealing with those, and they've got those in a higher interest bearing accounts in a Vanguard fund, I believe. And so they're not paying anything in fees, and they're getting a better return on their dollar. And...
So,
even something like that to accumulate it, and I would like to see it have something more altruistic than just shoving it into one of these reserve funds. And if you all disagree, that's fine too. It's not going to break my heart either way.
Well, I'm just trying to anticipate. We've got say 10,000 this year, that
we'll have another 10 next year.
Next year, and I guess what I'm wondering about is if we have to separate that money out and put it in some kind of reserve account or a trust. I don't know if we're free to put money into trusts.
Well, I think we need some answers, and I don't know the answers.
But I guess what I'm getting at is one of the questions at town meeting may be, because I think it'd be a good opportunity to communicate that we have this donation that was given by Kathleen, and that we want to put it somewhere. It not only gives us an opportunity to say, okay, we want to put it here, it also tells the people Kathleen is donating.
And I think that should be more than just in the meeting here. I think people should know that. And
well,
their feelings will be less bitter that she asked for a tax reduction.
Right. And so I think if we can do... So I guess what I'm getting at is, can we propose something to be warned at this coming town meeting for 21 and just say we want to put... You know, half or X amount of the Kathleen Dolan donation into X,
yep.
Whatever X is.
Well, it could just sit on the side. There's no reason that Ellen has a donation account on the books. There's no reason, from an accounting standpoint, half of it can't just get parked into that donation line item. And the other half be recorded as income for FY21. So we don't have to make a decision tonight on how that other half is going to be, what vehicle it's going to go into. We can, from a budgeting standpoint, we're not mandated to put all of it on the income side of the balance sheet. We can, tonight if we choose, only put half, park the other half, and have it sit there until we're able to get the right people together to figure out what the best idea is to do with that money.
Yeah.
And to me, that would be the best thing to do, is that if ultimately this is kind of the path we're going down, which is let if we're confident that we want to use half of it to make up for foregone tax revenue, the other half we just don't know, it's fine to leave half of it on the budget. The other half, just have Alan park it in the donation line item, and then we just figure it out another day.
Okay, so with that being said, then we need to reduce the amount of income for tax purposes.
Well, no. I think that that's a donation that's come in, and we have to recognize that. We can't say that we only got $10,000 in.
We have
if indeed we got $20,000 in.
We have to recognize it, but we don't have to put it in the budget. We're not obligated to put it in the budget. We have to recognize it from an accounting standpoint, but we don't have to put it in the budget.
I guess what I'm getting at is I just don't want to see it getting inadvertently swept into the the account, the budget, whatever. So I'm just not sure. Mechanically, I don't know how the accounting part would work. I recognize we need to say, yeah, we got X amount of dollars from Kathleen, and half is going to be used to offset taxes, and half is going to be... So do we have to put an expense line in that says donation? Does that make sense?
I think if you reduce the donations that you've now got 20,000 in donations, if you reduce that to 10, I would think you'd want to reduce some expenditure by 10 so that you still come out at zero. Right now you've obligated all of the surplus to either take care of reserve accounts or put the tax down. So if you have less in the income line, you're going to have to reduce the expenditure somewhere by that amount. I don't really get things balanced.
Because right now all 20,000 is going towards expenses, where if you're only having 10,000 of it going towards expenses, you've got to make a 10,000 adjustment on the other side somewhere.
Well, I think that kind of leads us into the split of the surplus and what is the best way to split that up. So that's probably kind of part two of the conversation.
Yeah, it's mechanics. I don't care what's
right. done. I mean, we either reduce expenditures or we increase the amount from the surplus. So
the other option is if the money comes in FY21, it's already come in FY20, the money is still there, and if we run a surplus this year because of delinquent tax collections, which we most likely will, you've always got that 20,000 out there that you want to, you've got 2 years at 10,000
right.
to do something with the special fund. You can always budget that in FY22.
Right.
If the money's still there.
Right.
And you're going to most likely, if things go the way they have a surplus this in FY20, like you did
in
FY19.
Well, that to my mind, that is the easiest way to take care of it.
The 20,000 that we didn't budget for that's already come in. And this.
Well, you've got the 20,000 that you have. We got a contribution for $20,000 this year in this current budget that we're working on now that we did not anticipate. And so there will probably, in all likelihood, be at least a $20,000 fund balance. So I don't think we have to mess with 21's figures at all, because we've got that $20,000 plus that she has already given to us, and it's right here. And we did not plan on any of that. That tax rate was set with none of Kathleen's property that was exempt in the mix. That was already taken out before the tax rate was set on the grand list. And so that $20,000 that is in the budget that we're working in now in 2020 is already there and very likely going to be a fund balance.
So
I think we could leave I would prefer to just leave the other figures the way they are and then just move on to the last item. And in the meanwhile, we'll figure out how we want to deal with this and what would be the most appropriate way. And perhaps by saying something at town meeting, some people would give us some feedback. And I think that they should know that she gave us the $20,000 donation, of which half is just a generous contribution. And maybe we can get some feedback, and some of the townspeople would have some ideas as to what we might do with that. And I kind of would be happier with that than me pigeonholing it somewhere.
Yeah. So there's a there mechanically there's a little bit of a wrinkle. I don't think we can legitimately, even though we would expect to come out with at least a 20,000 plus surplus for FY20 with what has already been donated. We can't put that decision on what to do with that money before voters until we close the books on FY20.
We're not going to put anything before.
Oh, okay. So
we're just going to. We will just mention at town meeting, in comments, asides, whatever you want, that we're looking for some input. We've gotten this donation, half of which we expect to use for the deficit created by her non-tax status. And the other half, the generous half that is over and above what she would normally pay in taxes, we need some ideas as to how you think we should use this.
Okay, so I'm trying to distill what we're saying. Are we all in alignment that no matter what is decided and when, half of the donation will always be used to make up for 401 tax revenue. Is that what we're saying? That's what I'm hearing.
I think that would be my intent. I would hate to say that I would want to, and I don't think we can, bind the select board 10 years down the road to that kind of a decision.
We can, but the select board can always change it.
So we really, we as a select board can say that is our intent. But to say that it will be the town's intent for the next 10 years, as long as that donation comes in, I think probably would be unwise.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything illegal or inappropriate with this select board saying until such time that it changes, the half of the donation will be recorded as income. I don't think that is in any way illegally binding future select boards. Any future select board has the option to say, great, that was fine back then, we're changing it now. So there's nothing inappropriate about that. And in fact, that is, you could make the same argument for the other half. If we stick it in some other vehicle, you could make the same argument that, well, we don't really have the power to bind that. So I don't think the binding argument really stands up. We can, for now, say the plan going forward for each subsequent budget is to take half of this and record this income on the balance sheet, and then leave the other half for another day. And I think for now, like I was saying earlier, the other half can just sit. It can be parked. Then we can, we have the power to form a committee on our own. And we can designate people to look at this and figure out what the best strategy is for what vehicle to put this money in. So that's something we can do before or after town meeting. But as far as the budget goes, I would suggest that we at least put it to a vote that we're going to take half of this and use it as income on the balance sheet for the budget.
So I would like to leave it just as it is, because we've got the budget pretty much squared away, and I'll have to, the auditors are happy with it. It shows as income. And we do have the $20,000 in this year's budget that we're working on. that is going to be there that we weren't planned on, and it's a fund balance. As far as I'm concerned, probably will be a fund balance. There's no guarantee. As far as I'm concerned, I'm willing to commit that we will only use half of that money. I'm not willing to start changing the budget around. I think it's just a moot point.
But you're saying two different things, Emily.
No, I'm not.
You are. You're saying on the one hand, you agree that we only want to use half of it, but then you're saying you want to keep the full amount in the budget.
We already have $20,000 that we're not planning on, that is going to be a fund balance.
You're talking about FY20. I'm talking about FY21.
I understand you're talking about FY21, and I'm talking about FY20. There's already $20,000 there that we were not planning on.
Yep.
And that will give us the $20,000 to put into any account without changing this budget.
We can't do that, though.
Yeah, we can.
No, we cannot.
We can, with the town book as a fund balance, we can do that.
Because the books, we cannot put a question before voters as to what to do with an FY20 surplus until that surplus exists.
That's fine. We don't have to put it to the voters this year. But we can assume that we didn't plan on it, so it should be there.
And you can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No, you cannot.
You can anticipate right today what your fund balance it will be if you so choose.
You can do that, but you cannot program that in the budget.
I'm not trying to program it in the budget.
It sounds like you are.
All I'm saying is we know that we probably will have a fund balance.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
And all I'm saying is we've got this budget almost done, and I would just like to... Ben has got it all figured out and ready to go in the spreadsheets. He's done all that. And I would just like to move on and get the budget done. We all have an intent of not using it all. And perhaps we can get some ideas from the voters as to what they think we should do with it. And we'll figure it out.
You do have, you do have the select board report and the budget narrative going into the town report that could address this
issue
and bring people's attention to it that way.
Sure.
I'm working on those and I can do that.
Well, I'm just saying, those are two vehicles that would be a perfect thing to say, okay, the FY20 budget, FY21 budget, you see the $20,000 donation from blah, 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 and this is what we anticipate that blah, 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 however you want to say it.
Well, okay, so there are two motions I see forming then. One motion is basically for FY21, we're going to include all of it as income, and then for anything that's left over after we close the books on FY20 and then FY22, we're basically going to form some group to figure out what to do with that money. But as far as FY21 goes, all of it's going to be used as income. That's one motion. The other motion is basically that we're only going to use half of it to replace foregone revenue for FY21. And then the other half and anything and the FY20 amount that we already received, which is basically 30 grand, we will get people together and figure out what to do with that money. And any subsequent year after that. I mean, really, all we're talking about at the end of the day is, are we going to include all of it for FY21 or half of it?
Right.
So I move that we move all of it, we leave all of it in the income aisle in the budget 2021. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any more discussion? Because I just want to get this whole thing done.
I'm not disagreeing.
That would mean in this 2021 budget that we are looking at today and that we looked at last week, if that's when we were here, the donation will show $20,000 or whatever that figure was. It was a little more than 20, wasn't it, Neil?
Yeah, there was some.
But it doesn't make any difference to me necessarily which way we do it. It just, if we do it Stock's second way, we're just going to have $10,000 more that we're going to have to take from the surplus from 19 and put towards 21 somewhere to shore up the budget numbers, because if you take 10,000 out of that, there's going to be a $10,000 hole.
Right.
Which, so it's not going to be a big numbers nightmare to deal with. It's just going to be a
so that we can move on.
Want to ask a question though. So that's for this year. What do you anticipate we will do in 2022?
I hope by then we will have an answer as to how we want to deal with it. And then we can say, and maybe half of it can go right into whatever account we determine, and we will have to, I would hope by next budget year, when we start building a budget next year, that we would have a place for that, a thoughtful place for that, and also that if we have a fund balance from this last 2020 year, that we would have, by then, a concrete idea of where we would place that, and if we have a $20,000 fund balance from the 2020 fiscal year, which we should have because we didn't anticipate that we were going to get it, that we would be able to put an article on the warning that says we're going to take this $20,000 fund balance because of Kathleen Dolan's generosity and put that into this kind of vehicle for this kind of use down the road.
Okay, and so I'm back.
And so then on 2021, basically then you would be getting, because you had planned on it, you would use all of it in 2021. And then in 2022, when we build that budget, you would do a 50-50 split.
And my question is, we cannot put taxpayer money in reserve accounts without asking the taxpayers. Does anyone know whether or not we can put donated money
into
reserve accounts?
Yes, we can. I asked that question to VLCT a while ago when we got a $5,000. Remember when we got a $5,000 donation like a year or so ago, and that whole question came about, what do we do with it?
It's not taxpayer money.
It's a donation, yeah. So I asked VLCT, is there any problem mixing tax money, donated money into a reserve fund? And the answer was no. There's no.
And we don't have to ask the voters.
We do. It's the same procedure.
So we're still going to have to ask the voters.
Okay. Well, as long as we don't forget. I mean, I don't care. We can just move along and we can resolve this next year. But hopefully, we won't have to go through all this again.
All right. So the motion before you is to leave the 2020 budget with the $20,000 in there, $20,000 change, whatever it is. Steve seconded it. I need a vote.
I'm not done discussing it yet. I would like to say before we vote on this motion that there's some philosophical inconsistency about the motion itself, because we have had agreement that we want to set the principle that half of this money is going to be used for foreground revenue. And yet this motion is we're going to use all of it, not only for foreground. We're basically using it to bolster up the surplus, which I guess is fine. But I think philosophically, if what we're saying going forward is that only half of it is going to be used for replacement of foregone tax revenue, then that's the principle we should stick to. So, I mean, that's my take on it. I would rather see us, and I may be alone on this, and this is certainly how I'm going to vote, but I would rather see us take half of it and be consistent in our principle, and take the other half and park it, and then also knowing that we're going to have 20 left over, and then we figure out what to do with that money when we get the right people in the room. That is philosophically the consistent outcome. But you know, I'm happy to be out.
Well, I'm just worried that it what my point from the beginning was, if you count the whole 20,000, that affects the tax rate, right? And do we want to do that in sort of an artificial way? I mean, with our intent, we're going to, you know, move it and stuff. So I don't know, 6 and 1/2 debt, you know, as long as we get this.
Well, the
thing that they've done this before, I think it from a numbers standpoint, it's clear if you always just, with what your intentions are, take half of it and put it somewhere, and then take the other half and put it towards that year's budget, instead of saying, well, we've already got it in there, and we want to keep it simple because we've already settled the budget, and then saying that we'll use the unanticipated that we got this fiscal year to take care of next fiscal year. It's kind of you're shuffling money, even though you're not really shuffling money.
I don't really have a problem with parking it. If we had a place to park it.
We do.
No, we don't have a place to park it.
We do.
Where are you going to park it?
There is a donations account. We've already done this. We had this same scenario arise last year when we received a $5,000 donation. Ellen effectively just parked that donation until we figured out what to do with it. And so, yes, we do. We have a place. Those donations can just get parked on, right on the side. There's no problem with that. We've had this scenario before. This is not the first time we've been down this road. You don't have to put it in the budget.
You want to say something, Frank? You're thinking.
It makes more sense to just say we're going to use half, because we've already said we're going to use half of it. And this is next year's budget, so why not just in the budget say we're going to use half of it? And we can just say that, because that's what we're doing tonight, is saying what are we going to do next year? We all agree that's what we want to do. So if we just do it, then it's taken care of. Because if you don't come up with some way, I mean, you know, you can say, well, we could definitely spend or whatever, or, you know, my solution would be is you create a new expense line that says, you know, $10,000, and it's donation to be parked, and I'm not sure if that probably monkeys everything else up.
I mean, you have to make another line item for that put the $20,000 as income, and another line item for $10,000 for an expense, and then you've got it. Then you're going to have to shift another $10,000 out of one of these monies that we've put into one of these sinking funds over into the general budget, and that'll take care of it.
There's some other things we should talk about that.
But it is going to affect our tax rate. I mean, the $10,000, whatever.
Well,
you know, it's not a lot, but it is a lot.
It is, but you know, there's some other things that we have. You know, I brought this up several years ago. And we haven't done anything with it since then. But, you know, there are other ways to mitigate against this. So, for example, we never project any delinquent tax revenue collection. We never do. But we always get some. And, you know, Karen's doing such an amazing job. It's not like we should anticipate we're going to get zero, right? So we should be projecting at least some revenue for delinquent tax. And we never do.
And our accountant has told us not to.
Well, okay, but that's...
And that's why we haven't.
Yeah, but you don't always have to listen to your accountant. And I think it's kind of...
I go to accounting school, I'm going to.
I mean, the reality is that even if we put in a conservative number, we're going to collect some delinquent tax revenue. So I don't understand why we don't put a number in there, and that helps us. And yeah, is it risky? But it's the reality is that we've consistently, I mean, if you look at the last two fiscal years, on average, you know, Karen's bringing in just over 69 grand. And even if we program 30 grand for delinquent tax collection, that's a pretty conservative number, and that helps mitigate this kind of stuff we're talking about. So, yeah, I get why Chad would say don't do it, because you don't know whether you're going to get it. But, you know, the reality is that we're getting pretty consistent results. So I don't see why we're not at least projecting a little bit
I see the whole revenue thing as a crapshoot anyway. We just pick some numbers and, you know, I mean, we try to.
Yeah, right, but it shouldn't be that much of a crapshoot. There should be some predictability about it. And some of these numbers are quite predictable. And anyway, I'm just making the point that part of the reason, a big reason why we've got a surplus for FY19 is because of delinquent tax collection.
Right.
So there you go, right? I mean, if we had budgeted some revenue for delinquent tax collection, we wouldn't have such a big surplus. And we should be trying to get our surpluses smaller.
Well, that being said, she's gotten the easy cases out of the way. There's a reason we just put all those liens on those property holders. And some of those have been long-term delinquencies. And the second thing you have to realize is if no one buys those at a tax sale and we buy them, then they're off the tax rolls for 2 years and our money's slash is invested. And we may or may not get out of it what they're worth for taxes. So I'll take Chad's advice on this one. But that gets us back to the initial problem, which is we need to get the budget done. I don't think any of us want to stay here all night. So what do we want to do with the $20,000 from Kathleen Dolan?
There's a motion on the table.
Yeah, you have a motion.
I do have a motion on the table. If you don't want that motion, we can vote it down and we can go for something plan B. But we need to come to a decision.
In a minute, we're going to shuffle things around because we use the wrong number for the surplus.
We use the wrong number. We have to account for the 32,000, 30, it's 36,000, whatever it is. We need to account for the 32,624 that was carried over in that 2009-005 fund balance. So we have to adjust that.
Right. So it's not going to be a big deal then if we reduce the.
Well, Ben has already adjusted that in the sheets. We also have to figure out where we're going to put the Bandrail culvert money because there is no Bandrail culvert reserve. And so those are the two things that we have to get done, and we have to figure out what we're going to do with the stolen contribution.
All right.
So if you.
Well, you've got a motion. So
I've got the motion, and yeah. So my motion was that we leave the $20,000 in the budget as it stands as income for 2021. All those in favor? Anyone? Any opposed?
Aye. Opposed.
Okay, so let's have a new motion.
Okay. So is the amount $20,000 or is it some?
Is $20,092 is the total amount?
Okay, so in other words, we could either say 10,000 or 10,092. I mean, I'm not going to say.
Well, 10,046.
All right, so let's just say 10,000.
Take 10,000 out of it?
10,000 toward different.
Either
toward
way, $46 one way or the other doesn't matter to me. So
you're going to take $10,000 out of that figure. So that you will have 10,046 left in donation.
Yes.
No, 10,092.
10,092 left in donation.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes, it does make sense.
Right. Okay. So, you're going to change that, Neil?
Well, you got to vote on it first, Emily.
We need a motion.
Well, I think the other one lost, so I'm kind of hoping that this one will pass.
Well, okay.
All those in favor? Or
wait,
you
what's
make
the motion?
The motion is to, I move that we take $10,000 of the Kathleen Dolan donation and park it somewhere else and use $10,094?
$92
to offset taxes. And show his revenue in her account.
What you're doing is changing line 58 in the budget to 10,092 from 20,092, correct?
Yes, correct.
The
exactly.
Donations.
Yep.
Yep. Don't need to worry about whether it's Kathleen Donan's or one thing or another. The budget
right.
That you're working on doesn't say where it comes from, just says donations.
Yep.
Okay. So the donations is now $10,092.
Did someone second that?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, now we get back to We're $10,000 short in revenue, and we have $176,381 to allot.
How much was that again, Emily?
$176,381.
Okay.
I want to make a correction. Before we dig any further, I saw the petition for the Thompson Senior Center, and it's actually 3,800. And I can't remember what the original amount was, but I bookmarked that as it's not, it's some other amount in the original budget spreadsheet. Is it 3,400? Yeah, 34. But the petition says 38. I saw it down at Tego the other day.
So we need to bump that. Neil, what do you have for on your spreadsheet there? Is there a copy?
I'll make copies.
Well, no. Let's not kill any more trees because I think we're pretty close. What's under the senior center right now? So Scott's pointing out that we're
small thing, but
that's me. Could you get a smaller font? I know what you're doing. I'm only teasing you.
Why did they feel the need to put in a petition?
Because they changed the amount.
Have they gotten the signatures that they need?
I don't know. They got time.
So we should change line 268 to 3,800?
Yes.
All right. Be right back.
So last time we proposed taking 40,000 to offset taxes.
We raised that to 50. We'll be back in the same place we were.
The other thing to bear in mind in these calculations is that while it doesn't fall into the vote of the appropriations category, there will be a separate article for the regional energy coordinator that could pass. And so when we're calculating the impact of all of this, it would probably be wise to take into account that money as if it were going to pass. You know, what we have traditionally done is when we do our amount to be raised in taxes, we say this amount is subject to change based upon passage of voter.
Right. If it doesn't pass, it just gets adjusted at 27 tax rate.
Okay. Right. So just keep that in mind.
I think normally what we do on a new item like that comes underneath that is not a social service agency, if indeed that passes, we add it at the time of town meeting and say this additional amount will have to be raised in taxes.
Yeah.
Because in the past, we haven't wanted to bias the decision of the voters one way or another.
Right, it's going to be a separately warned article.
That is correct.
But I'm just saying that when we draft our article for amount to be raised in taxes, just like we did last year, so
we will have to amend that at town meeting if that passes.
Correct.
So Frank, you originally we had $40,000 to go into
towards taxes.
Towards taxes, we've now cut our revenue by $10,000. Do you want to now make that $50,000?
Yes.
Right, that's the total.
Okay, and so... So, and the other amounts that you had were $90,000 for band rail, and because there is no band rail fund, you and I talked about that, and Neil put that in as paving reserve,
right.
And I think that's a good place to park it.
Right.
If we get those if we get those grants, hopefully we won't need it, and it will be there the following year, so we won't have to ask as much for a paving reserve.
Right.
Which would be hopeful. And then you have $8,000 to go back to the communication reserve.
And because we're taking such a cut, I mean, I don't think there's any reason why we have to backfill the communications completely this year. I mean, we can amortize that. We can
do four this year.
We could do it. So I was just looking at putting four in, and then we just got to figure out what's...
Well, why don't you leave your eight in there for the communications, and we won't have to deal with it another year. And then just, instead of putting 38,381 in the... in the building reserve, we'll put 28.
So what is it?
So a couple of comments. One is we can't put money into the paving reserve from a general board.
You don't think so?
Paper.
We can. These are going to...
We'll have to warn articles. They are, but if the point I can make though is if that money is designated for Banrail, paving is not Banrail.
This whole project is under paving.
Yeah, but well, I guess that might be a bit of a stretch because we do have, if Banrail is always part of paving, why do we have a Banrail line item in the budget? We have a Banrail line item in the budget.
But it's a maintenance, not a reserve. In other words, it's an annual thing.
It doesn't matter.
In this particular case, they cannot rebuild the road without removing the Banrail, taking it off site, and then bringing it back and reinstalling.
I understand that, but paving, I guess if we're going to stretch the definition of paving to include Banrail, because I think that's what we're doing.
Well, we could take this.
What I would recommend is there's no reason, I get if you want to split hairs about it, and I think it's more appropriate to actually have that money moved into operating budget for the highway. So instead of moving it to a reserve fund, you're moving it to the operating budget to actually pay for Banrail. Because when we do the accounting for this project, we're going to want it to show up as that we spent money on Banrail, right? So if we're looking backwards at this Howe Hill Road project, and we want to say, how much did we spend on paving? How much did we spend on Banrail? How much did we spend on culverts? We want to be able to see that in those line items so that we can add it up and know what we spent. If it all gets lumped into paving, it's going to cloud what we spent on this project.
That bid is going to come in, and we're going to pay that bid. And he may itemize it out, but the final amount of money is just going to be pipe, basin, whoever it is. Yes, it is.
That's fine, but...
So we're not going to know exactly how much they're going to pay in Banrail, how much they're going to pay in all of these things.
So I'm confused, because I wrote down at our last meeting that we got bids for $38,000, $39,000 for Banrail, and some of it was for Howe Hill, and some of it was for elsewhere. That I wrote that down in my notes.
And we did, and Jimmy did get those. But that Banrail taking up and replacing and the culverts will all be in the bid price of the Howe Hill project. We are not going to get someone to do the Banrail separately. And we're not going to get someone to do the culverts separately.
But
we decided that at the last meeting.
But there's nothing stopping us from asking when bidders submit their bids to itemize to say, this much for paving, this much for Banrail, this much for culverts. And I would think we as a town would want to know when we're looking backwards, rather than having being lumped into just one thing so we can have some perspective on what we spent on what. It makes sense to break this down into whatever the appropriate categories are. So I think it makes sense, and there's nothing stopping us from asking bidders to say, when you submit your bids, we need to know how much you're proposing for paving, how much you're proposing for culverts, how much you're proposing for band aid. Nothing's stopping us from doing that. And it shouldn't be that hard, because we've already got the estimates for the band rail.
Sure. So I think we're just talking, maybe it's semantics. You know, we can call it band rail, we can call it How Hill Paving Project. We can say
put it in the general fund under How Hill Paving Project.
Well,
just put it in the bottom of the general fund. The reason I thought it should go in a reserve account is if we get those grants that we are hopeful that we might get, then we should have some money left over. And in that case, I would rather than see a large fund balance, I would rather see it in a reserve account where we know that next year we won't have to fund that as heavily.
Well, is there any reason you can't just put it in the reserve account and then still have it show up on your budget later as to where it went and what part it went to? I mean,
that would be, I don't know, that would be some allocation. Like you're saying, if you spend it out of the reserve and then try and allocate it to specific line items later?
There's we are going to get a bid for that entire project. Right. And that is what we're going to pay, not to exceed. And
So we can just, I mean, because we're saying band rail, but we could actually say this $90,000 is buying tar. Asphalt. I mean, and so I guess what I'm getting at is if we put $90,000, whatever number we pick, we put to be moved to the paving reserve account and we can even put in anticipation, well, or for the How Hill, you know, for the How Hill project. I mean, you know, it's because we got this big thing, it's called a paving project, and see, the culverts come under paving too because they're under 4 foot. If they're 4 foot and more, then they're structure grants, and that makes them different. So culverts actually come under paving too and stuff. And I won't swear to it, but I think the band rail and all those things, you know, this is like a big project. And paving doesn't just buy asphalt, it buys subbase and, you know, all the auxiliary things that you need.
So are you saying, so I'm trying to help me understand here.
Sure.
When we budget for band rail in the highway budget,
it's a maintenance thing.
Is it different from what we're talking about?
I think it is, because it's a big project. It isn't like, oh, we're going to put 1,000. We budget and we say we're going to put 200 feet down. There's a place where I want to put 200 or 300 feet. That's a maintenance thing. We're just going on now. For this, How Hill is literally a big deal. I mean, this is like, we're going to rebuild the whole road. This is from nuts.
Okay, so, all right, well, that helps because I think what I'm hearing is that when we budget for these specific line items like band rail and culverts, that's a different kind of operation than kind of this larger project, right?
Yes, maybe.
Okay, all right, so that makes sense then. So if what we're really talking about then is shoring up the reserve fund,
so that we can pay for the project if we don't get grants.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess that's fine, except if we do get the grant.
The money is going to be there.
It's going to be in the reserve.
Right. And then we can pave another 2 miles somewhere.
Right. To me, then that means for budget season next year,
we won't have to put some in.
We need to be mindful of that.
Sure.
That we need to make sure that we're looking at that.
Yeah. And by this time next year, you should have a good idea of what How Hill costs and what's left in the reserve account. And then you may only budget $100,000.
Or you might not have to budget any.
So what amount are we talking about? Still 90?
Well, again,
with the figures that John gave us, including the culverts, if we get no grants, the $90,000 plus all the other monies that we can get our hands on, meaning the paving reserve, that has, I think, 300, will have, I don't know, 311 in it or something, the paving money that is in the budget for this year in the reserve.
Plus 200 or 300?
I'll have to.
We put 300 in.
We put 300 in. There's 200 in there for the budget year. So that's 500, the 90, and then there was 111,000 to begin with. That should get us where we need to be, hopefully, so that we can afford this project if we don't get any grants. Because we have to get the project done. The rainy day fund is for unanticipated expenses. And this doesn't qualify for that because we know that's what we're doing.
Nobody's talking about using the rainy day fund.
Well, we did before. So this will get us where we need to be. I'm hopeful that we'll get to those two grants. However, I can't, right now, I can't even get an application out of District 4 for the paving grant. So it's going to be hard to get it applied for if you can't get him to send you the application.
Those don't come until January, right?
I'd have to look back and see when I put in the application.
The letter usually comes in January, I thought.
So, and we've already got that other application in, but we still won't know until May. The bottom line is we still need to get the project done.
So if this shakes out and we don't get the grant, we are basically potentially looking at, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of a $200,000 overage in the reserve fund. Because we're talking about moving. We've got 300 programmed for FY21. We've got 311 is our current position. And we're talking about moving 90 from the general fund into the paving reserve, right? Those are the numbers.
I think so.
Roughly 311 is our current position after paying for the most current. That's FY20. And then 300 for FY21. And then 90 from the surplus. So that covers us basically for everything for Howe Hill. So, you know, I mean, if we don't get the grant, then that means we're basically going to have a pretty big overage. If we do get the grant.
Okay.
Sorry, I meant to say if we do.
And that'll be good because I think we can then next year reflect that we have that overage and we won't have to. There may be something else that's coming along. For example, rebuilding the LeBounty Road intersection.
We've also got that Cloudland Bridge that's collapsing.
Yeah, but hopefully. So we got lots
which
of.
Which we'll also put a grant in for that.
Yeah. So anyway, what I have now is I have 50,000 of our surplus. Our surplus is 176,381, right? So if we take 50,000 to offset taxes, and we've got 90,000 to
paving,
go to the paving reserve.
8,000 to communication.
So if you do that, then there's only
28,381
go to the building reserve.
You said 98
and 28,301? 28,381. Yeah, but I'm gonna change this. I mean, I don't care. I had, you know, the communications we don't need right off, but the building is probably the same, so negative 28.
Well, we're not going to do anything major with the buildings other than paint, hopefully do some painting, so that'll give us time to do something else. So, do we have a motion for that, Frank?
All right. So, let me just get this so I got it right in my thing. Oh, come on. I just want to make sure I get this number exactly right. What's the change? 28 what, Emily? Do you have it right?
28,381.
381.
That should work up to 176,381.
Yep, okay.
Does it?
Yep. So here's the motion. I move that we, out of our 176,381 fund balance, use $50,000 for taxes, move and use in lieu of whatever the word is for in taxes, move $90,000 to the paving reserve account, $8,000 to the communications reserve account, and $28,381 to the town building account reserve. So we'll have to have three motions to cover those at town meeting, right?
Three articles.
Because we're moving in the reserve accounts tax.
The $50,000 in taxes can just go into the budget.
Right.
I need a second for that motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Well, I'd like to discuss the motion. So I just want to point out to the board that motion results in a 3.7% increase in the amount to be raised in taxes.
So
that is not correct.
It is correct. I'm looking at the number right now.
We've changed nothing, and we did have a 2.4% increase.
Hey, I'm looking at the spreadsheet, so I just plugged in the numbers.
Let's see, how can we do this?
Right. You reduced the income. You also reduced your expenditures. It should be the same thing. Go check your numbers.
I'm taking into account the possibility that the regional energy coordinator could pass.
Let the voters do that.
Well, I'm just saying, if we're going to be consistent in the way that we talk about this, we need to assume that everything would pass. So you can't pick and choose and say, well, we're going to assume some will pass, but this one won't. I don't think that's really an honest, I get it. There are people on this board that are not in favor of the regional energy coordinator, and that's fine. But we have always consistently, when we put stuff like this before voters, it's always been on the assumption that it will pass. And that's fine. But I think to be consistent in our calculations, you have to make the assumption that article
will pass. What's the number without the 10,000? What do you have for a percentage without the 10,000?
It's 2.4.
It should be consistent, just as you're saying, 10,397. 2.5.
Well, I don't know whether the energy coordinator position will pass or not, but I feel very confident that it's time to stop playing smoking and mirrors, and it is costing us more to run this government. And we have taken away $60,000 that we don't put in the reserve accounts for the fire department, and we have taken other things that we are not putting the money away for. And so we've been playing games. And if we have a budget that comes in at the inflation rate, I think they should be very comfortable. And it's time that they realize that these cash cows of these delinquent taxes are not going to last forever. And if you shield that from them, then what you're actually going to do is, when the cash cow dries up and she stops milking for the year, we're not going to have but what, it'll be a 7 or an 8 or a 10% increase. It is time for people to realize that, just like in their lives, they cannot get along with the same amount of money that they did last year. Neither can the town. And to give them a false sense of security is not really doing them any favors.
Some of what I agree with you on, but I feel very strongly, as I have now for the last 3 years, that I don't dispute that costs are going up, but not all costs are going up. And we have an obligation, I firmly believe we have an obligation as a select board, that when certain costs in the budget are going up, because we don't have a choice, whether it's healthcare, whether it's trying to pay people decent wages, things that are beyond our control, I feel like we have an obligation to find opportunities where we can be more disciplined in our budgeting. And I still see evidence in our budget where we are not being more diligent than we could. We are still building risk into the budget. And that is part of the reason why we consistently end up with these surpluses. And, you know, I don't know about this milking the cow analogy with delinquent tax collection. Because as long as I've been involved in town government, which isn't that long, but the same pattern has played out over and over again, where we kind of do this, we're not going to get much from delinquent tax revenue, and then we do. And, you know, it's this kind of back and forth. I don't know. I think that we have an obligation that when we see costs going up, we should be putting a scalpel to the budget and trying to figure out where we can save money. And in my experience in the private sector and in the government is that, yeah, you try and keep government growth to a minimum. And if we're going to take the attitude that it's just going to keep growing, you guys got to live with it, that's just the way it is. I don't see us as a board really digging into the budget deeply enough to really find where we can figure out this, where to save money. And, you know, Emily, you referenced the fire department and that we've stopped putting money into the reserve fund. You know, we still have not grappled with the future of fire protection in this town because it's so politically toxic that we can't even talk about it. But we've got to talk about what is the future of fire protection? What is the right answer? Is it more regionalization? I just read an article in the news on WCAX today about regionalization in some parts of Vermont where towns are figuring out, like, we don't have the volunteers, the costs are too high, we've got to figure out how to consolidate. You know, this is kind of the future. And we're not doing that stuff. We're not really looking at where we can do cost containment in the budget. And so just to kind of say, hey, voters, you guys need to get used to it. Costs are just going to keep going up. I see that as taking the easy way out. And, you know, I mean, this is FY21 is a bit of an anomaly year because of Howell Hill is such a huge project. But we are still, in my opinion, building a lot of risk into the budget. And we're just not, I don't think we're spending as much time figuring out where we can save money. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that we have an obligation to try and keep the growth in the amount we're trying to raise in taxes to a minimum. And I don't see a driving need to put any money into the town building reserve at all. I mean, I agree that we need to bulk up for Howell Hill. I don't know about the communications reserve, but there is really no reason at all to bulk up on the town building reserve. To me, we're just throwing it in the town building reserve because that's what's left after we decide what to put into Howell Hill and for the communications. Like, well, let's just throw the rest into the town building reserve. But we're not asking, do we need to? And the question I'm posing is, aren't we better served by trying to keep the amount we raise in taxes down? You know, and then we need to keep in the future figuring out how to get deeper and deeper into the budget and figuring out where we can save money. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no problem putting it in the town building reserve. We're going to need that money at some point in the not too distant future for some of these buildings. I mean, the town halls. We spent money on windows and other things over there, but there's going to be other things to spend money on to get it to where it should be, as well as the town garage down there, which is just a pile of, I don't know what you want to call it, but...
But you're talking about, well, let's just, I mean, we have money, and are you just saying, we don't know how much we need, let's just take whatever we have and throw it in there? I mean...
Well, if you just go by the Holden engineering study, we could blow all that on what we adopted. So if we really want to spend it, I mean, we've already adopted the one level, which was well over $100,000 just for that. So,
yeah, but right, but just like I wrote about today, is like, are we really going to do that? I mean, yeah, we voted on it, but...
At some point, we are going to get a complaint. And whether we want to do it or not, we are going to have to make it ADA compliant. And it is going to cost, once we start doing anything there, it is going to cost a lot of money. And the amount of money in the building reserve right now wouldn't even get us started. And that doesn't even account for what Holden suggested we might do. The town garage, I was down there, it needs some work. It needs some things like a generator so that it doesn't freeze up when we lose power for 5 days and so that the guys can get fuel. There are some things there that need to be done besides just painting and putting clapboards on. And what's it going to cost to get this ADA compliant where we've already gotten complaints?
So there are numbers.
Frank, even down at the town garage, Frank had brought up the fact of trying to change those doors so that they could actually get the trucks in and out without hitting the wings on the door casings and stuff. And that's not a cheap project to do that either.
Or you could just spend money and insulate the cold bay and make it so that pieces of equipment didn't have to sit in the cold, covered in salt.
So there's all kinds of ways that if we weren't quite so cheap, we could spend the money with no problem at all.
So trying to not raise taxes to try and keep the budget low is all well and good, but one can make an equally strong argument in the other direction that we're not putting any forethought into what we're going to need in the future, and we're just trying to do this to make it so taxes are low.
But that's not true, John. I mean...
Sure it is. I can make that argument very easily.
How so?
And I'm not going to sit here and do it tonight, but I can. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Well, so, all right. Well, that dismisses everything that's been outlined. I mean, the capital plan from 3 years ago, from 2 years ago, and what was just published lists a whole bunch of projects with dollars, right? And if this board, if there are things that this board think needs to be done to the town hall, or a town garage, let's get it on the list. Let's get it on the list.
Yeah.
So identify it, right? Identify it. And I guess the point I'm making is that.
I suppose you can make the argument that we're just saving money to save money with no real plan, and once you have a plan. But if you actually stop and think about all the things that need to be done, we're nowhere near having the money to do those things.
Now, how do you know that though?
We don't have a written plan of where we're going, what we need, when we're going to get there, and that probably should be done. But with what's there, knowing what needs to be done, we're nowhere near over the top. So I'm not worried about it. Yes, we need that plan, but to just not save any money because there isn't a plan isn't necessarily
so. Right, so we do have a plan.
No, wait a minute. We're getting all we need to do tonight is decide on this budget. We don't need to make a plan. We don't need to get into the capital plan. That's going to come at the next meeting. We don't need to do any of these things. We need to decide whether we're going to go with what Frank suggested and John seconded in this motion, which I might remind you was $90,000 for the paving, $8,000 for communication, $50,000 to reduce taxes in the general fund, and $28,381 for the building reserve. That is on the table. We're not getting anywhere discussing it. Scott has his opinion. Everyone else has theirs, so we need to vote on it. All those in favor of the motion that Frank put forth and John seconded, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Opposed.
That is the budget, Neil. Are you going to print out a copy for us now that says approved?
What was that? You gave me a new number for one of the... this here. Write the number down there, please, in the right place.
Oh, yeah. This one here.
3,800.
And John?
I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
John, just to be clear, that amount for the repeater was 8308.65, is that correct?
That sounds right.
That was the same bid that you got back in?
Yes, whatever it was.
August or whenever it was.
Honor the same. There were some small injuries.
That's good.
So they would honor the price.
I've been working on
the labor on there is just estimated, so it may end up being slightly more, slightly less than the quote.
But from the auditor's point of view, if they put in there as an anticipated expense this year of that amount of money out of the reserve fund, they will be close.
Yes.
Okay. I need to know that. I'm working on the budget, not the budget narrative, the select board narrative and the warning. Back in sometime in the summer, Scott, you were working on an NRCS grant for Bunker Hill. What's the status of that?
It's expired. So that grant opportunity is coming on.
So that paperwork just never got there?
Nope.
We need to get Jimmy to put that on his list of things to do.
You wouldn't do that till spring, though, right? Or would you do it this winter if he had time? No.
I think the bank is froze up, so probably not, because they really need to nest.
Poke them in, don't
they?
Yeah,
and we probably got to get Scott Jensen involved to approve what we're going to do, because we're close to the wall.
That isn't.
I think he will.
I'll write that down, and next time I talk to Jimmy, I will Bunker Hill.
Because another good flood, and it'll be out on the road for sure. But I think the road crew can easily do it.
Okay. Any other items for discussion? And so I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So
second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I would like to remind you that we gave out those